Is that real? You don't shoot?
I don't know.
How are you shooting in 96? It's the gear.
No, my dick works.
Not your dick. That's not a dick thing. It's your testes.
With my testosterone being 150, I was still getting my dick hard, bro. And it did. It never went away. Even with my testosterone at 150, terrible. Super depressed, but my dick worked perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's not a penis thing. It's a testicle thing.
Yeah,
your testes don't have to be active when you're.
Yeah, my testes haven't worked on their own in a long time. All right, you ready? Let's clap. So let's fuck around. All right, clap.
It recorded that whole.
Oh, fuck.
Here we go.
Yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Hey. All right, hold on. Let's redo it.
Hey, we're here.
Hold on. Can I redo that? That was fucking whack.
All right, we're fucking going, dude.
Perfectly imperfect, motherfuckers.
No, that's it. This is
real as
perfect.
Fuck.
Okay, so today we have fucking Josh Nussbaum, owner and president of Rev Labs. My homeboy. We have Liz and we have Chip in the building. They're gonna come chat it up with us. Josh is a super interesting motherfucker. He's a savage. That's the best way to put it. He's just a shark of an entrepreneur and. A good friend of mine. So what's up, Josh?
My dick.
Oh, that's how
it's
we're
not,
starting.
But we did record an intro piece about testosterone and erections, and I figured that would be a perfect tie-in. I have a challenge for you personally, and then a challenge for the group.
Okay.
Number one, my challenge for you is to this entirety of the podcast... No qualifying language about any of your opinions and own what a fucking animal you are.
Okay.
Because.
Well, I will use sound logic, and if I have an opinion, I'll provide evidence. So that's not a justification. That's the way to articulate.
Logical.
So, logical. So.
Sensical.
Yeah. I won't apologize for that though.
Perfect. Because you know what? Like your heart is undeniable. And I think no matter how up or down or left or right you are, you can't hide the heart.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I want to see you giving you credit.
Yeah, I don't do that. I kind of walk around and like hide a little bit because when you're 6'3" and your teeth are huge, like you said, and you're loud as shit, you people look at you all the time. And I wear a hat always, and I'm just like, don't look because I'm big already. So I don't compliment myself.
5 inches of fury, baby.
Yeah, that 5-inch dick game, bro. It's medium dick energy, I call it. Mm-hmm. I have medium dick energy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I appreciate that, Josh.
Yeah, I kind of get on him about that also.
Yeah.
I have to like...
It's humility.
Yeah, well...
It's humility.
It is, but there's also a certain like... You also have to kind of like an encouragement to yourself to carry yourself in a certain way.
Well, because I hate myself just like so much. That's encouragement enough to like keep hustling and keep doing what I do. And I'm kidding, but I'm also serious at the same time. I'm a perfectionist and self-loathing is like, okay, you got to do better than you were yesterday. I'm still, you know, fucking cringing over things I said 2 weeks ago that I'm like, okay, you could never say that again, or stuff I said on a podcast. So it just makes me up my game always. So I need to be humble because when my ego's driving things, I fuck whoever I want. I'm dirty when it comes to money. I'm gross when my ego's running the show, and I just don't want to live like that.
Is it possible to love the fucking shit out of yourself without giving your ego the steering wheel?
That's what I talk about meditation on my podcast quite a bit. And that's what that does. It brings a level of contentment where you like yourself as opposed to needing things to feed you, to make you like yourself. So I'm really working on that. It's like personally developing that, at a young age, I think, cause I think a lot of people spend a lot of their lives chasing those things, chasing those things to try to make them, you know, feel good about themselves. But I know for myself, when I'm chasing those things, I'm gross. It makes me a nasty person. So I love you, Chip.
Love you too.
What's up?
What was that look for?
Just because he nailed it, and yeah. We've had a lot of personal development talks lately about exactly what you just said, is chasing the shiny, glittery, feel good validation, and as a result, you know, it's pouring water into a cup that has no bottom. It's unfillable. It's
unfillable.
In fact, yeah. it makes the hole deeper.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a bummer. I always say it'd be easier if you could just like fuck a bunch of people and get money and be like, this is my life, and be happy. At least for me.
What's that like?
I don't know. I wish that would be nice, you know, but I got to do the hard, for me personally, I got to do the hard work. I have to be content. I have to like myself. Going into the conversation we were having just before is in bodybuilding and fitness, there is a small level of self-loathing that keeps people motivated, that looking in the mirror and say, ugh, that keeps you going to the gym and like working your ass off. How do you navigate that piece of self-loathing that I know is there because I know you, and then managing the ego that helps you be successful?
Well, let me talk to you about how good I am about managing my ego and why that makes me so much better than all you motherfuckers.
It's a loaded question.
Just a very ego-centric question.
Yeah.
God, I'm kicking your ass with how much more humble I am than you guys.
I love getting to live with this guy.
Yeah.
You're pretty, Liz. Check it out. I don't think I'm a spokesperson whatsoever at managing ego. So let's like throw that one out there for beginners. I think it makes it the easiest. There's two questions. There's one is like, how do you manage the self-loathing, right? And the other one is like, how do you manage the ego in a very like me-centric universe, being the fitness industry, right?
Yeah.
So answering the ego part first, I think when I'm, minus the voice crack. Do you have any more of that testosterone laying around?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you drugs, have bro. A supplement company, bro?
You know what I do? Fuck, I left my rev test in the car. Look, I mean, I think the trick is not to resist anything, ego included. And the closer that I can get to letting shit in and letting shit out instead of being rah-rah positive. I'm fucking RevLabs Prez on Instagram. I don't get depressed. I don't think negative thoughts. I'm a fucking shiny example of what it looks like to be a fucking Eagle Scout that's always, you know, one hand fucking in my like meditation basket feeling rocks that I got out of, you know, Indonesian whatever blessed pool of water, and the other hand is like inside of a chick while like I check my bank account with my feet, right? Like we should make that happen actually now that I'm painting the vision.
You're a savage.
You know, that's nowhere close to what it's like, dude. Like I get like I see a lot of myself in you and also look up to you a lot, and I know that you can relate to like, I don't know if like up and down is the right word, yeah. Or the manic,
yeah.
Pressing, and mm-hmm. then like the depletion of how you feel post manic press, yeah, press, yeah. And then like just the empty. Adrenaline exhausted, like
dumb.
Can't feel anything, fucking like fuck. I'm right the fuck in that shit.
Yeah.
You know, people with the way that I speak or the way that I communicate, or shut up. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Teasing. The way that I speak.
Yo, are you fucking serious?
I'm coughing. What the fuck? I can't stop.
You do not have permission to be human.
It's still there. All right, I'll hold it.
No, please don't. Okay, we tease our employees when they sneeze. We say, shut up, get back to work.
Slave odor.
Nah.
I'm kidding.
No, so look, I mean, I was talking to Chip when she was in Northern California at an event for one of her very, very good friends. And she's like, I don't have that thing that you have where you can like just very, very easily, you know, speak to anyone and bring out their inner fucking, you know, depth and levity and da, 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 always in random situations. And I'm like, dude, when you're feeling, people misconstrue that I don't have a sense of, ooh, I like that better in my headphones.
Got you, fam.
Benny, actually, full disclosure, is my favorite type of person.
What kind of person is he?
The silent assassin.
Yeah, he is.
He's honestly a low key motherfucking black ops sniper. Like,
he
dude,
saves
he's
my ass, bro. He really does.
I feel you.
Like,
no, you're the talent.
When I run out of gas, I look over at him and he's like, I got a perfect question, and he fucking saves the day, and the person talks for another 10 minutes, and then I regroup, and his timing's impeccable. But he's a musician, so timing's his jam.
Maybe that's why I relate to him. Yeah. It's that artist spirit.
Appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome, Benny. I see you.
Right. I see you too.
I see you
dog.
Too. I see all of you.
Let's just bask in that for a second. Open body posture, motherfuckers.
I wish you guys could see us.
Yeah, for real. So
I can't see him. There's
dude, we have a
big macro in front of his face. So, see you spiritually.
I think, yeah, exactly. I feel him. I think the more that you resist, and this is what I was saying to Chip, is like that what you resist persists, right? And I think that that's a very easy, like a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. Like, what the fuck does that mean, right? But it is a practice that the more you try to pretend that something is not the case, the more it either A, reinforces it, or even worse, opposes it and locks that thing there to like rear its head.
I disagree. I've had this conversation with another life coach. You know me. You've seen me depressed, bro. You see me fucking wrecked. That's what fucking a bunch of people does to me.
Likewise.
It destroys my life, you know? And he's seen me that way. And I've spent 28 years in and out of depression. So now that I'm not that way, I don't nurture that part of myself. I feel like shit just like everybody else. But I've reframed my mind through my mindfulness practice to the point where I don't nurture feeling like shit anymore. So I feel like shit, and I call it creating space. You create space to feel like shit, but then what the fuck am I doing about it? It's always a solution-based life for me. It's okay, so money's tight. Feel like shit about it. Oh, I don't know what to do business. You've been there where you're like, fuck, man, we gotta make some shit happen. You feel like shit for 2 days. You fucking talk to your partner, and you're like, oh, fuck, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do. And then you get to fucking work. You feel like, for me, getting depressed about whatever I've been depressed about, acknowledge it, create space for it, and then get to fucking work. Because there's always a solution. And I lived a life where there was no solution before. I've lived a life where I was depressed and a victim to my own circumstances. But what I do now is I take that bullshit and negative feelings, that's the best motivation in sales, right? It's find the pain. So my life, I know exactly what my pain looks like. And I use that pain as my engine. Instead of using my ego as that engine, I use my pain as that engine. So I know how it feels to be broke. I use that pain to motivate me to not be broke. I know what it feels like to be lonely, and I make sure I nurture my family life so I'm not lonely and I maintain my relationships. I know what it feels like to do most to feel all the shitty things, and so does everybody else in this room. You know, desperation is universal. It's a human experience. But it's what we do with that. And that's with in the fitness industry and working with, I'm not working with high level athletes. I'm working with regular fucking people who feel hopeless. And it's really reframing that as people and saying, okay, I'm fat as fuck, or I'm out of shape, or I'm broke. You can continue to feel like that, and you can, you know, just be in that, or you can get to fucking work, man. And that's where I'm at now. And this is coming from someone who's, I've tried to commit suicide, not like 20 years ago, 5 years ago, I tried to commit suicide. So it comes from a place of true desperation, but I know I don't have to nurture that. And I know I'm not pushing stuff. I had a conversation with another life coach. He's like, don't push it down. He's like, you're a sad kid inside. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, but what the fuck does that do for me? I'm not pushing it to the side. I'm moving forward, and I'm not nurturing that shit, you know? So I'm sorry, that was a rant.
No, because one thing we do talk about frequently is that is that victimhood mentality.
Yeah.
Like, I deal with massive amounts of depression as well, and anxiety, and the whole nine. But I think Eric and I, or those of us who deal with this stuff, is that we still sit in, and I guess the acceptance of our responsibility, that even though we've, you know, we can either go left negatively or right positively, like, we are still a summary of the choices that we've made.
Yeah.
Right. And so we can still make choices to either come out of that or continue to perpetuate that. And so you can kind of direct yourself still, even though in your mind, everything is convincing you that differently, that
yeah,
the world is out to get you. You're doing the wrong thing. You're doing this, but you can still take those decisions and really have control of your outcome.
100%. I think what you said about they feel hopeless
is you. Who is you?
About what Eric just said, about feeling hopeless and having a sense of hope in something, is that things have the potential to be better than they are right now. And you have the capacity, or I have the capacity, to speak in first person, to make it so. And when that feeling isn't present, that's when you start to feel hopeless. So running from your feelings like, fuck, I feel lonely, I feel anxious about this, like, you, if you're not acknowledging that that's the case and you can't be real with yourself and look at it and be like, well, I'm not lonely, and you keep trying to go through life avoiding that, thinking like, if I just avoid it, I don't have to deal with it and I can just push past it. No, you have to sit in the shit and be like, yeah, I'm lonely as fuck. And like you said, so now what am I going to do with that? That's how you push through it. And you have to just get real with yourself. And that work is hard and dirty to do. And when I was looking at you earlier, when you were talking about like that, it's a lot of shit that you've had to sit in. I saw myself in you 100%. It's like you said, we have had a conversation recently about the validation piece and seeking it externally, and you think that it's going to make things better because you're looking to the outside. Like, I'm looking to the outside to give myself something that only I can give myself if I look at what's actually there, not missing what's there, like a sense of, you know, fulfillment or worth. So I have to give myself that.
Instead of philosophizing about it, like, let's speak specifically, right? So I'm at a social function and I'm nervous to speak to somebody, right? Or
I've been there.
Or they come and they say, what's up? And my feeling is that of like anxiety or nervousness or not being present because I can't hear their voice over all of the shit playing in my head, right? So when that's the case, you have a couple different options of handles. You can nurture the shit out of it, which, just for clarity purposes, Eric, was never my supposition.
I know, it was a good argument though. That was all.
I just like, yeah, you're like, it's like a political answer. They're like, so how do you feel about your new oil drill murdering all of the sea otters? And you're like, it's funny that you say that because I'm very pro-choice. You know, it's like completely unrelated. Just they have their pieces, their talking points. What do you do with that? You can relish in it. Oh, I'm nervous. I suck. I'm like, fuck, this is, and then it's a negative feedback loop. This is always what happens. I get nervous and then I can't be present. Because I'm not present, people don't like me. And because people don't like me, I get more nervous and I feel judged and then I act, right? You can do that whole fucking dog and pony show. We've all relished in our shit. We've all nurtured our bullshit, right? You can do the second piece, which is a lot of what I'm hearing, which is, I see it, I get it, and I'm choosing to not go into agreement with it. Here's what I stand for instead. And I operated for a very, very long time on that
same,
on that piece, which is to say, like, I see it, so what? So this is what it is.
Exactly.
And also, it's not what I'm choosing. But even that, at least in my experience, is a juxtaposed position. It's still one versus the other.
It's called a dialectic.
A dialectic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'd like to hear more about that. And I think when things are opposition oriented, it's really easy to stand behind one and oppose the other, but it's also limited because it can be overpowered by the strength of one or the other instead of being integrated or instead of using one to drive the other. So what I've been aiming at is, instead of like, yep, I see it, I got it, cool, that's not what I'm choosing, is acknowledging the fact that I'm completely okay being nervous.
Yeah.
I'm completely okay and authentically standing in the fact that I have really bad social anxiety, and also included with my social anxiety comes my sensitive heart, comes my positive intention. Along with my ego comes my capacity to understand people that want to feel good and look good. And it's not about, in my mind, what I say to myself is, it's not about choosing positive over negative. It's not a matter of choosing motivated instead of depressed. It's a matter of saying, I can be depressed.
Yeah.
I can be insecure and also be confident in the fact that insecurity makes me fucking human. And as a result, relatable. And I can talk without having to separate the two of like, I am this like omniscient human being that can't be fucking questioned because I am the all powerful X and I stand for all of this shit and I have X amount of followers and this many people validate me, which makes me better than that person, but worse than that person. And toss that concept or that way of dealing with shit out the window, where I'm not attempting to choose the things that are in line with being amazing instead of the, instead is the key word, of the things that fucking make me not all powerful.
Yeah.
But accepting both of them.
Chip, that's by definition validating yourself. To validate is to give permission. And what he's saying is giving yourself permission to be nervous and acknowledge
100%.
That and being okay with that and still feeling both feelings. That's where that term dialectic comes in. But choosing and doing the opposing action, right?
No. So, well, actually, I guess not. No. Yes. And also, however I'm showing up and whatever I'm feeling and whatever I choose to be is okay.
Yeah. So
this is all, you're all talking about, this is DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy. This is a form of mindfulness. They use it to treat people with anxiety and depression. That's exactly what you're describing.
So
cool,
man.
You're doing work, bro.
Not honestly, I don't do any DBT.
I know you're doing it. You're doing it subconsciously.
Yeah, or consciously, just not being guided through it.
Yeah. Just not by definition. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, man, that's. I believe at this point in my journey that is more powerful than being like, I see this, I'm not going into agreement with it, I choose this. I see that I'm nervous. I get like whatever those receptors are trying to, that instinct is trying to protect me from, and I'm choosing like witty and charming and loving. No, like literally I was at a baby shower that I saw you at, actually.
There.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, nice to see you.
And I ran into the girl that I lost my virginity to's mom.
Sick.
And immediately,
dope sentence.
Right. And
it was great.
Hi, Liz. Love you so much. She puts up with such a fucking ungodly. Oh, she's an incredibly, incredibly elevated human being. Like, next level.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she's like, hi, Joshy, how are you? And I felt the fucking shit pop up. And I didn't want to be there anyway. And I'm like not drinking and there's too many people in the house and like whatever. And I feel like all the fucking like noise in my brain going. And I'm like, honestly, I kind of feel like I want to crawl out of my skin a little bit.
Yeah.
And don't really know what to say and feel a little bit awkward and nervous. And also I'm really interested in what's going on in your life. I'm not drinking right now. And I think that's where it's coming from. What's up with you?
Yeah. Being like, yourself.
You know, like not like resisting the fucking like.
Just being where you're at.
And also not nurturing it. You're exactly right. I like that. Being where you're at, where it's like it's honoring that shit. So it kind of like has the ability to let itself go instead of you fucking forcing it out of your fucking space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm capable of a lot of feeling. Fuck. I know you're the same way.
Yeah, I know. It's exhausting.
It's fucking exhausting. And also
a huge strength, though.
Also a huge strength. Amen. Amen.
100%.
And when it's framed in an opposing way, when the feeling gets too strong, it takes so much willpower to like consciously choose the other thing if they're opposing, as opposed to I accept this feeling. I'm not resisting it. I'm letting whatever the fuck needs to come in, and then I'm letting whatever that is come out.
Yeah. So I have a question. So to finding success is in this industry, which everyone is trying to do. Everyone who goes from a personal trainer to an influencer starts a supplement company, right? That's like usually, that's the natural progression. Am I tripping?
No, she's just smiling because she loves me.
Oh,
she's like,
that's what we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so she's like word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what makes you, I know a little bit about your past and the way you were raised. I know your family, but I want you to tell people how you ended up this way. Did you grow up watching? Where did you get the entrepreneurial spirit from?
I feel like there's a right answer to this question, and I'm not sure what it is.
No, there's no right answer. I want to hear. I know your story. I want to hear how you answer the question. I've heard your brother answer the question.
Tell me some of my story. I'm interested in what.
No. This is personal, dude. I'm not me and your brother were best friends, so I'm not gonna share what he has shared. But that's an opportunity for you to share your experience, because the way my brother experienced my dad and the way I experienced my dad are very fucking different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. So I want to hear how you experienced your. What put that entrepreneurial spirit in you? And okay, we'll go right into it. How did watching your father, lead to the success you are today?
Yeah. So I think my dad is, he's a very underappreciated person in a lot of ways. And I think he's celebrated in a lot of ways that aren't the true reasons he deserves to be celebrated. And I think everybody likes being the centerpiece of their own story. And because of that, every protagonist needs an antagonist. And human nature and I think evolution is the struggle for survival. And I think that we are designed genetically to be opposed to things. And I think anybody that stands hard for something is a very easy target for being followed and for being opposed.
That's big facts right there.
It's at least 4.5 inches on a good day.
That was good, man.
It started out of necessity a lot for you, right?
Speaking to the microphone, Liz.
Did it start out of necessity?
So Eric has a really awesome trait that I have too, which is to ask like 4 questions in one sentence.
They're leading questions.
I feel you 1,000%. So I'm answering my experience of my dad question before where the entrepreneurial spirit comes from, which I think is something that you're born with. It can also be cultivated and nurtured and
desperation breeds ingenuity. That's my favorite fucking. That's
I love
dude,
it.
When you are struggling, you're like, all right, figure this shit out, bro. You know, you start creating.
Necessity is the mother of invention, motherfucker. Amen. I did a podcast called it was actually the name of a dude's book that I had on, Stefan Anario, called Hard Times Make Strong Men, talking about in society we go through these revelations, these cyclical phenomena of the harder things get, the stronger society and the individuals that comprise it become. And then those strong people make times good, and those good times make bitch ass people, and those bitch ass people make times hard again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the world keeps turning.
Bitch shit, dude.
You know?
I can't stand it.
So
I'm so insensitive when it comes to like certain, to be such a sensitive person, to bitch ass shit just really fucking bothers me. Because if you just put your head down and do the work and do the next right indicated thing, it'll be fine. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to walk. They don't want to do the walk. You know, they want to complain and they want to, it's like, dude, you could still feel things and still get to work.
Or there's people like me that do both.
Yeah. Well, I think I do both, but it's still, there's the next indicated step and you're supposed to take that one as opposed to, sulking, but.
And feeling those things and taking the step is what I was saying when I was saying that your emotional capacity is a strength.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people think that that's a weakness, which is why they shy away from it.
That's changing though. I think culturally.
I think so too.
Especially being an emotional man, that's, I think we have a responsibility. You have a son as well.
Alleged son.
as dads, we have to be emotionally grounded, or we're going to raise kids who kick their dog when they come home and smack their wives. You know what I mean? You got to teach your kids how to like be emotionally intelligent as well as have control over their mind.
Or they just grow up to be repressed and resenting all the things that they're feeling because they
subsequently
don't
hitting their
them.
Dog. Yeah. Subsequently being mad about the fucking wet sponge. I always use that example. Like they're like, why is this sponge fucking wet? And they're like mad at their dad from fucking 20 years ago, dude. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you don't develop emotionally intelligent children.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So speaking of emotional intelligence and what cultivated me being me is like, I don't know, a story that would take 33 years to tell. But the more hyphenated and or abbreviated version of that is I grew up with a single mom who had four boys, you know, me and my three brothers and I, and she's like the absolute like personification of just love and warmth and acceptance. And I think it's funny, you know, I grew up, as a young kid thinking my mom was good and my dad was bad. And I think as I started to approach high school and started to touch base with like now all of a sudden, you know, I trained judo and jiu-jitsu for years and years and years. And before it was cool, before UFC was a thing that was slightly, slightly, you know, mainstream. And I was always the littlest guy. You know, I started training at like 10 or 11. So like jiu-jitsu class or training or judo or sparring meant just like me getting the fucking shit kicked out of me for like years and years and years and years. It didn't mean anything else except like I'm showing up to like take a beating and I don't even know if I'm learning anything. I hope and think I am, but like whatever. It was, there was no element of it that was like reinforcing of anything, right? And then all of a sudden I hit 12 and I hit 13 and I hit 15. And guys start flexing and dudes that are bigger than me start like imposing their whatever. And like, it was a complete joke fighting a football player compared to like getting my ass kicked by adults that I had been sparring 3 hours a day for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, right? So as I started to get kind of like that positive feedback from my environment, my perspective shifted a lot of like, it's funny because it's come full circle, a couple revelations over where I keep kind of switching, where I'm in these like periods of like, you know, it's about the work ethic, it's about the da da da, it's about the, you know, one track motherfucking minded. Either you are weak enough to go into agreement with reality around you, or you are stubborn enough for reality to come into agreement with you. And I'm like, you know, hell bent driven, horse blinders on, kicking with every fucking piston that I have access to. And then other times I'm like, wait a second, that's a really great way to like rack up the notches on the accomplishment belt. And also a really great way to forget what the fuck you're doing, because it just becomes about more and more and more and more and more. Maybe the direction is presence and love and light, and it's not about me. And it, you know, and it comes over, and I see like pervasive themes of the way my dad was, that when I was a kid, I condemned. And then as I started to achieve and feel the positive feedback loops of what it feels like to fucking bust my ass at something, and then all of a sudden it's like, poof, there's something to show for it. Mm-hmm. Where it doesn't require like the opinion of my mom telling me that I'm beautiful, which she always did and still does. God bless her. Right? It didn't require the opinion of my dad telling me like my best isn't good enough and I swing like a girl and whatever the hell else I heard from him as a kid, which was his version of attempting to make me strong. And for any of the rightness or wrongness of either of those opinions, it was irrelevant, because I was the motherfucker standing on the podium in first place with the gold medal around my neck over and over and over and over again. And I'm sitting there with that positive feedback loop of like, I'm standing there and all I can think about in my mind is like, holy fuck, I want to go train. Yeah. I can't wait to run back to my studio and like give them the gold medal and like put it on the wall and like not even have my name attached to it, 'cause I'm good at something. And that was the, that was the like, oof, like,
yeah,
you know. And I think I became addicted to that at a young age. And as I started to become addicted to that, even though my relationship with my dad still wasn't very good at like 14, 15, 16, 17, I started to have an appreciation for why he was the way that he was in a lot of ways, where, dude, you can say he's a lot of things. He's insensitive. He's overly whatever the fuck he is, but the dude's a fucking savage, dude. He's like the Terminator. He just keeps on fucking coming, which is also what she said. Heyo, hey. Can we lighten the mood a little bit? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Those were bars. That's dope, man. And until you become an adult, you start to look back, especially when you have kids of your own. You're like, oh,
alleged kids.
Like my dad was the villain. I made my dad the villain. Even sober, I tried to make my dad the villain in my mind. And then I have my own kids, and then I am the same fucking dude. I'm the same dude who's working on himself a little more. That's it. And it starts to make sense. And then you remove yourself from that victim role of like, he's the bad guy. And then you start to really appreciate what that person did and what that person was capable of and all those good things of that person that made you who you are, and the bad things, because we get all that shit, you know. But I was with my 9-year-old. He's my partner's son, and I've been raising him since he was 5. And I always have to remind myself, between 13 and 21, he's going to hate my guts. He's going to fucking hate me. But when he's 25, he's going to say, he did the best he could, and he stepped up and took care of me. You know, it's going to take him some time. So I have to like be like, okay, it's okay. Like, it's, you know, like, guys don't get it until you have your own. And I always tell my friends, you're going to hate your dad until you're about 23. 24, then you're like, it starts to make sense slowly. And I think for women too, I think women experience the same thing where you until you get it, until you get your heart broken a few times, like, oh, so this is,
yeah,
he's just a dude. He's just a dude who happened to be my dad, but he's a dude, you know?
I don't know. I still get pretty resentful to my dad when he calls me on my shit.
Yeah.
You know, because that's part of fucking like, dude, there's no one on the planet that you don't brush up against wrong sometimes. And yeah, people like to be right in their way of being.
Yeah.
And anybody that is steadfast in their capacity to call things as they see them is going to fuck your shit up sometimes, yeah, because it. Yeah. I mean, he is controlling and I'm pretty fucking controlling, working on it. Masterpiece in progress, you know? But I think unless you're going to be all things to all people and not stand for something, look, if you don't want opposition, some guy that was way smarter than me said something like this that was probably way better articulated, but if you don't want opposition and you don't want criticism, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing.
Yeah.
Go fucking sit in the corner and play with G.I. Joes and don't tell anybody about it. But the second you take a stand for anything, you're going to throw your flag up and you're going to invite people that oppose that thing and people that believe in that thing. And my dad is a person that fucking stands for shit.
Yeah.
So right, wrong, or indifferent, which I don't have a huge interest in getting into the intricacies of the rightness and the wrongness of his actions because they're fucking arbitrary. I think on a higher level, he stands for shit. And I think right now he stands for different shit than he did 10 years ago. And I think those things are different things than he stood for 10 years before that.
He's a verb. He's not a noun.
Amen.
He's flowing. He's changing. Oh, mm-hmm. So are you. And we want to do that to each other. We want to say, and by, you know, literally we say, this is my dad and he is this noun. He is this fixed thing.
Yep.
No. He's this dude who is floating through the universe, just figured it out. And his values change as your values change. And as his experience develops, him as a person. And there's things that I believed in when I was 22 that I'm like, I can't believe I even fucking thought that. Know what I mean?
There's things 6 months ago I believed exactly. in that I'm like fucking looking
there's
at.
There's things like last week exactly. for me that I thought I believed in.
Like what?
Back to that validation piece. I mean, there's just so many things that they were just completely in my blind spot that I'm like, no, that's not the case. Just completely unaware. Like that. Looking like with social media, for example, like him and I have talked about this before several times that I'm like, yeah, I just want to take a break from social media. Like, I don't care about, you know, like getting likes and follows. And then
which
I realized
been very steadfast in is like, that's not what I'm about. It's fake validation. Why the hell do I care?
Yeah. And then I realized, oh God, I'm about fake validation everywhere, from like the way that I dress to the way that I show up to the way that I communicate with people. And it comes from having a lack of boundaries with myself. And that is, it's one thing to be nervous for a podcast. It's another thing to be like just completely spilling out like really ugly shit that I've been digging in lately, like hard as fuck.
Spill that out. Let's talk. No, honestly, it's good to talk about it. And it, you know, this whole, I combined the podcast as Josh, you know, it suggested a couple of weeks ago, and this whole podcast,
there's someone that listens when I speak. This is a fucking miracle,
dude. At this point,
telling him that because I told him that first.
Yeah,
he gave you credit when I told him. I'm like, hey, yo, you're being too many things to too many people.
I appreciate
like,
that.
I gave him like five or six like hard bullet points, and he did give you credit when I said, yo, scrap the two separate podcasts that stand for two separate things that have different themes, and just make them both you. And he did. He credited Benny.
Oh, I appreciate that. But I think going Chip to what.
I think we cut Eric off.
No. Oh, okay. I want
just to bring it up because I think it's going to tie in very quickly. But I think what you're kind of going or alluding to, or where it's going to lead up to you, is that piece of vulnerability that we have to grow into be authentic human.
100%. And what I've learned recently is like, there is straight up levels to vulnerability. It's one thing to share something that for most people it seems like, oh wow, like I can't believe you said that. That's so real. Because for me, like, if that's something that I've shared, it's probably because it's something that I've worked through and come out on the other side of, like, I understand this and I'm good with it. But true vulnerability is to be like, look, I'm sitting in this shit right now and I don't know how I'm going to come out on the other side, but this is what's showing up for me. Like, I'm learning that I've been struggling with validation and then shitting on other people who may or may not be getting validation because it's something that lives in me that I haven't even been brave enough to look at.
Tell the truth. Let's go. Preach, sister. Let's go.
What's showing up for you right now?
I feel pretty empowered right now, honestly.
Dude, there's something strong about, you know, telling people who you are on a microphone and being like, this is who the fuck I am. You know, it's liberating. It's liberating. And you don't, nowadays, you don't have to be anybody else. You be yourself. As long as you don't say the R word or the N word.
What's the R word?
As long as you don't say anything that's going to get you canceled. But if you tell your truth, as long, you know what I mean? It's it's the way
your tribe will find you.
Yeah. Your tribe will find you. And that's, and on social media, it may not be about likes, but the people who do follow you and after you sharing you, they like you for you. They don't like you because your ass is fat. They don't like you because you're doing
good. I beg to differ.
They don't like you for you because of the good mornings. They might see that as a piece of you, but then they see the rest of you and they're like, oh, this person as a whole entire entity is attractive, not just her ass and leggings.
And that shit is magnetic. And then people will be drawn to that said that it's magnetic. People are drawn to that. Okay, good.
Turn your whole body if you're gonna look at me.
Cool. That's magnetic when you're being yourself. Like, it's one thing that people come to my page because I've done fitness and I post pictures of my ass or whatever. But what makes them stick around to learn my story is me sharing my story. And what I've learned recently is, like, I'm like, oh, I want this validation. I want people to like me, but I'm not showing them me.
You're not giving them an opportunity.
I'm not giving them an opportunity. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, this is stupid. I don't care about the likes. And like, the ego lives in all of us.
Yeah.
You know? So to be like, I don't care about the likes. Everybody fucking cares about the likes.
I don't care anymore. I really don't care. I really don't, because from what I do, what my brand is, I equate it to comedy. I'm a stand-up who's in the open mic phase of my career where I bomb. And honestly, I don't care if I have 20 likes, or I post as if I have a million people. It doesn't matter if I have 20 people liking it or 1,000 people liking it. I'm going to post no matter what, because that's part of my brand is not giving a fuck. Part of my brand is bombing right now. And I did care about likes. I did. And
up until when?
Up until I started producing good content and not getting a lot of likes for it. Because I think I post great pictures and I post meaningful things, and it doesn't gain traction, which I'm perfectly okay with.
Because it's true to you.
And it's true to me, and it's good.
All right. I'm going to fucking pop your little balloon here, because I do agree with what you're saying. But Eric.
What's up?
Big boy. You're telling me there's no part of you that gives a fuck about how many people?
No, because.
Why did you ask me to help you grow your social then?
Professionally, not emotionally, because I post, I get 20 something likes on a post.
And by the way, guys, he does, if you're listening to this and you don't follow him on social, it's your loss. He does produce pretty fucking excellent content.
Yeah, it's comparatively to like what I watch it. And I used to be like, why don't people like it? But it's not personal. It's not personal. And I think people take social media personally. I think I did. I attached social media to me, and it's not, it's a business tool. It's a business tool. It's an opportunity for me. It's another platform for me to share. But that's why I podcast, because this is who I am as a person. I'm not one photo and a paragraph caption. I am fully articulated sentences and tones and inflection. That's who I am as a person. So, you know, you do it like nobody's watching, because it's who you are, and you bomb for a while. And if you're producing good content, people will come to your page and they're going to see it, and then it'll flood. There's people whose pages who are not popping at all, and I look at their page and I'm like, yeah, this person has fucking 1,000 followers. Why is that? There's a comedian, Kyle Dunnigan, who had 20,000 followers, and he has one of the funniest pages on social media. One person found his social media, now he has 200,000 or 300,000 followers because the right person saw it once. That's the cool thing about the internet. You need one good video, one good post.
Eric, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Exactly. It's perception. No, it doesn't.
Okay, so you produce amazing content. What if you made amazing content and put it on a thumb drive and threw the thumb drive in the trash?
Yeah.
You care about making an impact. I care about sharing your story.
That means being seen.
But it means being
like you care. I'm not asking you about your fucking business, and I think you're copping out right now.
No. I'm being 100% honest. I had an emotional connection to how many likes I got. Mm-hmm. I did.
People are engaging in your shit, Eric.
I care about touching people.
You care about people fucking being impacted by your message. And the more fucking people that are impacted by your message, the more people double tap it and vice versa.
But I'm not gonna have an emotional connection to it. If people like it, as long as I'm putting out good content, as long as I'm putting out good podcasts like this one, we're killing it. As long as we put out good content.
Bicep flex for those of you that can't see, they're huge.
They're huge. As long as we're putting out good content, someone will see it eventually. It's perfectly fine.
Hey, let's acknowledge Lizard real quick, who's sick as fuck right now and is doing what the fuck she does, which is showing up regardless, because she's vision driven. She's not feeling driven. She's not emotionally driven. She has her eyes on the prize and saw an opportunity for me to connect with somebody that I love. And these are the two closest women on the whole planet to me. Two of the closest fucking people on the entire planet to me. If Noah was here, my world would be complete. And she's sitting here sick as hell with earphones on and a microphone on, and won't say boo about how shitty she feels. So I just want to say that you're an amazing human being and I love you. And this is you showing up with your actions, not your words, which are infinitely more important.
Received. Thank you.
So I kind of want to not reel this in. Like, it's an awesome conversation, but I think sitting here absorbing all of this. So the way I equate social media is that, like, you know, when we were kids, we fantasized about living in a virtual reality, right? Or having access to virtual reality, how cool that would be. And I think in present day, we're actually living in that. And your profile picture, yours on whatever platform is your avatar.
I think I'm wearing the same shirt I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. So I wear the same
shirts all the time. So yeah, it's definitely me.
So that's your avatar, right? And that's what you're representing and what you post. And I think what's easy to do is, I guess, a regurgitation of buzzwords and personalities and things that we see that we think are successful or people are clicking with, just in terms of engagement, but not really of substance. And for myself,
have you
personally,
read my captions, my dude?
I'm not saying
trying
you
to be pretty substantive.
I'm not saying you, but I think.
Isn't that our psychology is a regurgitation of ideas and influence and different pieces that we've seen to be successful and tried on, and elements that have protected us or served us in the past, just regurgitating themselves in the current moment?
They might, but how substantial are they?
Are the things that shape our personality?
I wouldn't say things that shape our personality, but the things that we take in every day. Because when we're looking at stories, we're just hitting next. We're watching a video, we're watching 5 seconds of it. You're not, you know, if you're looking at statistics on like, when I look at numbers here for podcasts or for videos or when other people are sharing, they're not watching the entirety of the video or whatever content you're putting out. They're watching, honestly, 5 to 10% of what's being put out there, not the entire thing. So what is really the substance that we're taking in, and what is it that we're representing? Is kind of what I'm getting at. So you can have, you know, and I'm not, it's not like I want to shit on Tony Robbins or anything, but the things that feel good in the second, in the moment when you're watching this, and it's a quick motivation, it's a quick like dopamine fix of like, I can do this, I have the potential, and then you sink down into it. So substantially, what is it that we're actually putting out there? Because as content creators, as influencers, we do have a responsibility. We can continue to perpetuate passive content that feels good in the moment, or something that's going to last, right? Something that's still going to age well. It's like me creating a piece of music. Am I going to do something that is playing to a top 40 or some pop music because that works and that's successful? Or you know, if you look at that rack there, I have 80-year-old records that still stand the test of time. So what are we putting out there? Are we putting out 80-year-old records that are going to stand the test of time, or a regurgitation of what's popular and what we see as successful? It is in the moment, but is it going to age well?
So how does somebody put out something that ages well?
And so that's, I think, what we're fighting for and what we're doing is that complete vulnerability and authenticity.
Yeah.
Right. We share a similar story. And if we want to get into that, we can get into that.
Yeah. You want to talk, talk about that?
All right. So Eric and I are both recovering drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an opiate addict.
Mm-hmm. I'm a heroin addict.
Eric's a heroin addict. Right.
Also an opiate.
But heroin is, come on.
Yeah, heroin's
just fucking around.
Yeah, heroin's tighter.
It's
that tighter, shit's bro. Awesome. Right. So where does that come from me? Right. Obviously, I hit some sort of absolute shithole of a bottom to get me to somewhere. And that experience is absolutely unique to me. And it's, you know, it's also shared by other people. And when you reach kind of what you were talking about, that point of desperation or that thing that you've had enough, right? And you want to share that I've had enough. Because I think a lot within our culture now, there's a lot of like, I feel like a powdered keg of like, I've had enough, right? Like, how are we finding our true authentic selves in a world of, you know, quick validation, of a quick dopamine hit? From the likes, from the shares, from the reactions, or whatever it is that we get. Because those things are fleeting. If the internet were to be shut off for a week, you'd have to live with yourself. And who is your true self, right? If suddenly the likes went away, if you weren't able to see what your ex-girlfriend from 10 years ago is still doing, or, you know, whoever that you were friends with for a year or two is still doing, you'd have to sit there with yourself. That's it. And every time we're not holding our phones, every time we're not watching a video, or every time we're not doing these things, like, we're sitting with ourselves. And we can't do that. And art, culturally, we cannot do that. We can't sit in a place and even, you know, I don't have a TV in the living room, as you can see, because I sit on that couch and I look out that window. So
yeah, he's not on social media at all. He's honestly, it's a bitch trying to get him to post.
Because for one thing, for myself, for a recovering pill addict, I'm having to learn who I am truly, because I've been using since I was 12 years old.
Who are you?
And that's what I'm still trying to find out. But each day, each year, so each year and each day that goes on, I'm finding out who I was supposed to be, my confident self, my true self, the person that's able to sit here in a conversation, maybe disagree with somebody, because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised, you know, I was beaten into the right answer, even though I knew that I was right.
There's a reason I'm manhandling Eric and I'm receiving you.
Yeah. So that's, my journey and my goal is to continue to find who I authentically am as a person.
What have you found so far?
Let's see, that I am a confident person. I really am. I may sit here and quiet, but I absorb all this stuff, and I'm a very calculative person. I know that for sure. I may be introverted, but that's only because I process the things around me to make an educated opinion, guess, having, you know, listen to people, help people, guide people in a sense. You know, I may not speak the most, but behind the scenes, I, you know, help Eric as much as I can and get this thing going for him. I play
guitar.
There's
a reason I said you're my favorite type of human being.
Yeah.
Right. Early on.
I see you.
I saw him immediately. Yeah. And I require the yous to be even a tiny fraction of who and what I am.
Yeah.
I try to emulate the yous.
I appreciate that, man. That's a...
I know. That's, I can see really your huge eyes. Compliment. You have a really nice glimmer when you receive a compliment.
And it wasn't always like that. Let me be honest.
That's a receiving muscle, and it absolutely is a muscle.
Yeah. So, right now, that's currently my mission is, you know, because something I tell myself today is if the internet went away for some, who knows, for whatever reason, or if social media got deleted, if something crazy happened like that, who are you really? Are you going to be able to live with that, with yourself, and sit with yourself for a full day, for 5 minutes? Are you going to be able to go and sit presently at a concert or at an event without having to pull out your phone to record a story?
I could, but then who would like it?
That's a thing. Exactly. You know, like
I'm teasing.
I feel you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think like that's kind of the in a way it's sort of counterculture. The amount of vulnerability and the amount of things that we share and our life experiences that we do put up, right? It is, although we are using social media because unfortunately it's a necessity at this point. It's a little counterculture to, because Eric could work out without his shirt on. And
no, I fucking can't.
Maybe not right now.
No, maybe not right now. But you get what I'm saying. Like Eric could, you know, show off his biceps and do this, and that's going to get a lot of likes and a lot of attention. But the substantial work is the coaching that he's doing behind the scenes and significantly changing people's lives substantially. So I think the shift that is trying to be made is you can either have a top 40 for 2 weeks or have something that's going to last way longer than that.
Okay. Awesome point for me to jump in on.
There you go.
And I want you guys to...
It's a really good podcast, guys. I'm stoked.
Open your ears for a second and open your heart to this one, because you're tying in my point from the beginning. The way you're speaking incredibly profoundly, and I think with a shit ton of substance.
Thank you.
With an intention of creating an impact, is still polarized. It's still an opposition-based mindset. Where you're doing something that, using your words, that attracts attention, or is something of substance. In business, I try to penetrate and then radiate. That's how you fucking grow. I was talking about launching a business literally yesterday and gave this same point of communication, where the guy is a huge dreamer and he's a true visionary. But if you show up being all things to all people, people don't know what the fuck you stand for. So you have to pick an entry point to the market. Penetrate, get your foot in the door, have a reason for somebody to feel connected to you, and also feel that you are a connective being that provides value that they can trust in. And then they learn the rest of your story. And then you have a capacity for the substance to be seen more. The entry point isn't the entirety of what you are. It's just what you lead with. It's just a point for somebody to stop in the scrolling and see what the fuck. It's a reason that thumbnails are different than the entirety of the video. But if you're only going for the 2 hours of fucking golden content and your thumbnail is a blank black screen because you're making some self-righteous point of it's not about attracting attention because the music, bro, that's what it's about. It's the quality of the art. And believe me, I identify with that. And someone scrolls right the fuck past it, your tree's falling in the woods with no one around to hear it. So I'm inviting you, and believe me, it's something I fucking struggle with. And I told you, however many minutes ago, I attempt in a lot of ways to emulate your style of being, and I approve of it on every fucking level. And I'm also inviting you to be open to opportunities to do both. To be substantive and attract a fuck ton of attention, so that substance can be exposed and can impact more people.
I'll take that. I'll take that invitation.
Bars,
man.
That is bars. You're a killer, bro.
With love, guys.
You're a killer. Yeah, man, it's a balance, dude. It's a balance. And we do want to be a little punk rock in the sense that, like, we know we're putting out, you know, dope shit. But I pressure, you know, everybody on the team to post, but we can't be emotionally attached to it. I think when it comes to that avatar that Benny was talking about, a lot of people become emotionally attached to it. And that's why suicide rates are going up with young girls and teenagers, because there's an emotional attachment. So it's the balance of how do you say, I need this to penetrate and radiate without having emotional baggage, you know? And I think what you were alluding to, she wasn't able to do that at one point. There was an emotional connection to the to the likes where she almost said she needed and, you know, felt like
and
she
then needed. I'm still and then, going through that. Like, and it's then still there very was, real to me.
And there was the opposing piece too, which is, because I don't like the way it feels to be obsessed with that thing, I'm going to reject it and resist it in its entirety.
Entirely. I deactivated my account for like 2 weeks.
She threw a fit.
Straight up. And he asked me why, and I gave him a reason that was surface level accurate, but still there was more to it that I hadn't even realized yet. And I'm like, you know what? I think more so about me saying, you know, like, I don't like this whole thing where it's all about validation, whatever. Underneath that was, I don't want to be seen. I'm scared to actually be seen, because that's scary to actually put myself out there now that I feel like I'm finding my voice and I can stand in it and it feels good. But if I put that out there and I'm ostracized for it, then what? And then I kind of checked myself and I'm like, who gives a fuck? That's who I actually am. And I think that will be alluring to the right people. My people.
How about this? You give a fuck. And everyone gives a fuck on some level, and you get to embrace the fact that you give a fuck and still show up as who you are.
Knowing that the right people will gravitate towards me,
and trusting that you're not immune to fucking people's opinions.
Yeah, well, and value them and say thank you, and know still that I am who I am.
Yeah, you invite yourself, like you said, when you stand for things, you invite yourself to the loud minority, of people who have the opposing view of you. But you know what? Fuck that, man. You wanna be punk rock in the sense that, like, yeah, if they don't fucking like it, go suck my dick, bro. Like, this is who I am as a person.
Or if you do like it, suck my dick because of how much you like it. Because I like that too.
To a certain degree, just not being attached to a certain outcome. Exactly. You know, the way it's gonna go the way that it's meant to go, and the people that enjoy the content that you produce will naturally love it and share it, and it will grow bigger than you could have even imagined sitting in your ivory tower. And I mean, it's powerful.
Yeah.
If you let it be.
And by doing that.
And you know what you're amazing at, Elizabeth? Like, straight fucking fire at?
Nudes?
Yes. Words out of nudes. My mouth. I have the role to prove it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh shit. Oh,
I thought you meant you me receiving nudes.
Oh, I imagine that you have a plethora of those as well.
Yeah. That's why our phone's so heavy.
Oh, nailed
all
it.
The dicks. If she drops it, just dicks fall out.
Easy killer. You're bigger than I am, but remember the
5 inches, bro. That's it, bro.
That's a whole inch that you got bigger than I am.
Medium dick energy. Medium.
What were you saying?
Yeah, let's not interrupt Liz's receiving muscle.
I'm sorry.
We're working on her receiving like a champ. Yeah. Is creating magic without being married to how it looks. You show up present, willing, able, ready to receive it as it's unfolding, and being a control freak and being a person that has a master plan, I try to manage things. I try to influence things, affect things, to use a harsh term, manipulate things. You're really, really, really great at just showing the fuck up and letting the magic happen. And it's not because you don't stand for shit. I know deeply you care about stuff with every fiber of your being, but you let it express itself in ways that you don't even know.
Right. Cause
however it looks.
That's the power of being present. You show up as yourself and stay present, and whatever the situation or circumstance calls of you is what you go, that's how you act or be. In order to create the magic for that any given situation.
And in doing that, showing up, that's amen, super babe. Awesome. And an added benefit to that, when you stand up in your truth and you know that's who you are, good or bad, whether people like it or not, people will relate to it. And you give those people who may not have a voice permission that they might not feel that they have otherwise, to do the same for themselves. That's how you create a ripple effect of change and elevation on a bigger level than you could ever create trying to nudge them, push them, fix them. You just show up, and then they want to show up, and then everyone else around them wants to show up, and then the world just looks different because people are standing in their truth. That's how you get there, not by being like, so-and-so cares about all their likes and whatever. It's just, you just show up in a way that's just promoting true to you.
More condemnation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's, we were talking about earlier, it reinforces that cycle of them caring, you caring, everyone keeps caring. Like, you have to go Gandhi on them and be the change you wish to see.
If you ever want to move mountains, fight for a cause, not against one.
Yeah.
Man, we did good today, guys. So let's wrap up. I want to hear what the Rev Labs people are working on. What are you guys working on?
How about ourselves?
That's always a good answer.
Look, the reality is Rev Labs stands for the same thing it's always stood for, even though it looks very different now than it once did. Slightly. Thank you, girls. These two women have been quite impactful. Liz behind and in front of the scenes relentlessly from day one through present, and Chip helped build it to what it is for a large period of time, and is now, did a quick guest appearance on some other projects, and is now shining her light back on it as well. It stands for every single piece of apparel we have, every single logo has arrows in it. It's about upward movement. We're working really hard to continue progressing. No matter how hard we win in different areas.
Celebrate it.
Celebrate it. Acknowledge it. Don't deny it. Don't stay cripplingly humble about it.
Don't celebrate for too long.
And then, so what, now what? Move the fuck on.
And up.
Exactly right. And up. It's upward movement. It's relentless motherfucking progress, even when it's
wake
comfy.
Wake up the next day a better person than the day you were before.
Yeah, so realistically, you know, it started after a really hardcore crisis in my life. I had a brother that passed away. And I went through a divorce. And deep in my beingness, I didn't have the capacity to continue to show up and do real estate and do insurance adjusting. And it just felt wrong and blindingly painful to keep looking at the same things and doing the same things. And I just needed a laboratory to create a revolution. And I left my view of the ocean and my big comfy cushy office, and I rented what we called the bunker or the lab, which was a 10 by 10 room with four white walls and internet that I would, like, you know, Wi-Fi, I'd bum off my neighbor, and my laptop and my phone. And I started learning about internet marketing.
No windows.
Yeah, no ambient light. And I literally just explored. I explored myself. I explored blogging. I explored SEO. I explored pay-per-click. I mean, I was literally buying ads on Facebook the day, you know, prior to the EdgeRank algorithm, when Facebook spends were in beta, you know, running Facebook ads and figuring out what a jumper page was and figuring out what a landing page was. And I've done so many more wrong things than right things. But to give you a very esoteric answer to a very direct question, you know, we have a new keto product. You know, we just launched a vegan line called HXC Vegan with, you know, a dude, Caden Wynn or Viper GQ on Instagram, who's,
shout out Caden,
what up Caden? He's a beast, isn't he?
That's a physique on him, man.
Yeah,
that's,
man, good. And it's plant
all natty.
Yeah, all natty, plant-based. And I actually had a podcast with him, and he was sponsored by another company, and he enrolled me so fucking hard. I was like, fuck, I'll back. I said, if you could do anything, what would it be? If you could snap your fingers and create something, what would that be? And he's like, dude, I'd want my own supplement line. I'd want to fill some gaps that I see in the space for vegan supplements, and I'd be the fucking face of it and part owner and da-da-da. And I was literally just looking at him like, fucking done.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm working on is, instead of just pushing for next, and being married to being fucking right and letting myself run it, I'm working on that ego control. See, listen to my wording, ego control. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah. You can't kill it.
The ego management.
You just gotta manage it.
And the way that I do that, to answer your question from, like, you know, the first 2 minutes of the podcast, is by acknowledging that it's not about me. If I want to be loved, I get to be love. If I want fucking light and I want approval and I want peace and I want beauty, I get to fucking shine light on people's beauty. I get to see people's strengths, Eric and Alexandria and Elizabeth and Benny. I get to see the things that make you guys fucking beautiful. And I work.
And yourself.
And myself.
Yeah, or if you want to be of service.
And I work really, really, really diligently to be able to be of service in the environments. It's not about like, what do you want to create in the world? Okay, then go outside of yourself. And there's like this mecca of like, okay, now I'm a fitness entrepreneur. Now I'm being insightful. No, dude, like you start right the fuck where you're at by opening your eyes and being the thing you want to attract. And dude, I'm not immune to fucking kind words. So you know what I'm going to fucking do? I'm going to show up in my insecurity, in my fucking ego, and I'm going to flow fucking love and warmth and approval to the things that I actually authentically see that are worth acknowledgement. And I'm going to invite the shift where I see room in my humble fucking opinion that has turned out to be pretty successful in a couple instances for people to maybe look at and shift into also. Like you and your authoritative badass self that you get to fucking touch base with a little bit. And Benny, with your capacity to fucking open that heart and not be juxtaposed and get to be both instead of one or the other. Because, dude, I know what it's like to live in my fucking head and have my mouth, even when my mouth is running, which is usually, to have those fucking thoughts incessantly going and just repeating on loops and, like, to be thoughtful and to be insightful and to fucking listen really, 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 really hard with your ears and with your heart. And, dude, I fucking get that you are a sensitive being and you're a very smart, opinionated being. It's possible for, like, two conflicting things to exist and occupy the same space with just being different pieces of the whole instead of it being one or the other. Liz, keep fucking being you and showing the fuck up the way that you show up in every one of your dynamic, incredible fucking, you dance more beautifully than anybody I've ever met. You ebb and you flow and you stand for shit when you need to stand for shit and you getting a little emotional. That was funny. That's a weird wave. Letting that one in.
She's powerful like water.
Goddamn right.
I appreciate that and received and committed AF to, you know, making sure our brand is evergreen and it's just an extension of you. You know? Got your back.
Man.
I know you do. I love you with all my heart.
Love you too. A lot.
Chip. I know what it's like to be married to being right. You're a massive fucking inspiration to me of what it looks like to step up and step into choosing love and choosing light and choosing a way of being that truly, truly serves something even when it's hard. Love you guys.
Hey, me too, man. Plug your gram, plug your Instagram.
I'm Revlabs Prez, RevlabsPrez, Revlabs Prez. Elizabeth is Liz Vino, LizVino. Chip is Alexandria.Romer. You can spell that because it's a little bit too long for me to visualize.
Alexandria and Romer is Roemer.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
We don't bite unless you ask us to.
And our company is at Rev Speaking Labs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and our company is at Rev Labs.
There we go.
RevLabs.com.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man, why not?
Oh, man, why not? Oh, man, why not?